weekend, everyone, and welcome to it, to the Daily Daily Caller Podcast. Thursday, June 13th, 2019. Thursday, that means Friday's right around the corner. I am your host, Derek Hunter. Thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in, telling a friend, spreading the word. We want to spread this sucker like the Ebola virus in that Dustin Hoffman movie, Outbreak. Was that Ebola? I think it was Ebola. Anyway, thank you for doing that. Thanks for rating and reviewing and everything and all that good stuff. I really, 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 honestly, truly do appreciate it. Got so much to get to. You can email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. Compliments, complaints, whatever you got, I will get to those emails sooner or later. Sooner, usually, more so than later, but there's been a lot of them lately, so I kind of, my eyes start to hurt, and I have to take a break. But I will respond to everybody. I will. So just be patient. Programming note, tomorrow's program is going to be a good one. Today's going to suck. Tomorrow's going to be a good one. No, today's going to be a good one, but tomorrow's going to be a good one as well. Shannon Bream sat down with Shannon Bream. It actually went off. It worked. It happened. She couldn't have been nicer. She spent about half an hour, a little more than half an hour, talking, answering my questions. It's all about her book. It's all about her biography. Fascinating story. Did ask one listener question that I thought was particularly good that was sent in. So I appreciate that. The name escapes me, but I say it on the show. I don't remember my own name half the time. But it's a good time. So you'll get to hear that tomorrow. And as a tease, No, I'm not going to do it. You'll just have to wait until tomorrow to find out how you can what you can do. We did give away the signed Brent Bozell books, the two of them. And those winners will have to listen and hear their names and then email me their address. Or I could just go get the names from my pocket. But my jacket is way upstairs. Anyway, like I said, thank you, and it's a good time. You will enjoy it. She's incredibly nice. It's not fake. All right, so there is a lot of stuff to talk about. As per usual, there's not really that many slow 24-hour days out there. But I want to start with the big, big controversy. Oh, this clutched pearls all across the country. It wasn't anything that Donald Trump tweeted. It was what President Trump said to George Snuffleupagus. Yes, he said, I don't know why the president sits down with these people. If I had one complaint about the president, well, a couple complaints about the president, I do think he should tone it down a little bit on Twitter. I just think that he's got it's great. It's throwing red meat to the faithful. And that's wonderful. You've got to do that occasionally. I'm not saying don't do it. I just think you got to also throw some not red meat, but not tofu, maybe some chicken to the rest of the country. You've got your base. They're there. They're fine. But he didn't do this on Twitter. So he sat down with Snuffleupagus. It's going to air later today, this morning on ABC, and probably throughout the day. And as they do all the time, they release a little snippet. They want to tease it. They want to get people enticed to tune in. George Stephanopoulos talks to Donald Trump in the Oval Office. Dun, dun, dun. I'm not sure I could take George Stephanopoulos seriously. I mean, he was Clinton's campaign communications director, Bill Clinton's. He was involved in actively trying to get Hillary Clinton elected in 2008 and probably in 2016. He is a donor to the Clinton Foundation. He is a down-the-line Democrat. I would look at ABC and say, how about you send a journalist and not an activist with a press credential? That's just me. But in the course of whatever they were talking about, and since they've only released a snippet, we don't have the full context, the idea of foreign interference in the elections yet again came up, because the Democrats are obsessed with that. They can't accept the fact that Hillary Clinton was a horrible candidate, and the American people looked at her and said, thank you, no. No, Wisconsin, liberal Wisconsin said, I don't want to vote for her. She doesn't even know where we are, because she never came there. And the Democrats have convinced themselves that that was Russia. It wasn't Hillary not going to Wisconsin. It was Russia's interference, those dastardly Russians. So they already come at Donald Trump as if he's an invalid president. He's just not unacceptable. We have to impeach him or defeat him or both. Well, the idea of foreign interference came up, as I said. And the president's answer in this exchange, they're really only playing a very short snippet of this exchange because it's about a minute 43 seconds long. So I want to play you the whole thing to give you the entire context where the president says he's not sure whether or not he would call the FBI if a foreign government contacted him or somebody from a foreign government said, we got dirt on your opponent. Not sure he'd run off and call the FBI right away. To be honest with you, in 2016, in that Veselnitskayev interview or meeting at Trump Tower, the Trump team, with the exception of Paul Manafort, who doesn't seem to have been all that interested in actually being campaign chairman, he was really only there for one specific purpose, and that was to make sure that the convention went as planned. To make sure that there was no brokered convention, no floor fight at the convention. Otherwise, I think Paul Manafort was checked out. When you'd have an ostrich coat, you're probably not too paying attention to too much of the details in your day job. Well, the meeting seems to have been a complete bust, and the people in it seem to have been campaign novices. Donald Trump Jr. doesn't know proper protocol if some woman who is just happens to be Russian. I'm not sure they knew she was a Russian agent. Doesn't really matter anyway, but just happens to be Russian. Comes in and says, I think I got some interesting dirt on Hillary Clinton. I think you might be interested. You'd be very happy to have this information. They said, sure, yeah, come on in. Because I think that would be everybody's first instinct. This idea of the noble politician who, when offered dirt about their opponent, looked at it and said, no, this is from an unethical source. I couldn't possibly stoop to that level. My conscience would not allow me to even look upon this dossier, this folder. It would just be so inappropriate. I feel even dirty thinking about it. No one in politics, at least nobody who wins in politics, would ever say anything remotely close to that. They might be a little bit skeevy, go, oh, geez, we got to make sure nobody knows about this. Don't put anything in writing. That's the difference between the Trump campaign in 2016 and, I suspect, past campaigns. The past campaigns said, don't put anything in writing. Don't talk over the phone. Actually go there. Speak with them physically. Do not leave any kind of trail, and then we'll see what they have and we'll go from there. That's how politics really works in the real world. That's why these people are meeting all the time for lunch, and they track people down because they don't want to say, oh, I don't know, hey, remember that dirt you said you had on my opponent? Why don't you send it to me? Nobody wants to say that in an email. Apparently the Trump campaign did that because they were novices. Well, as we know, and as Robert Mueller, for the low bargain price of $25 million, nothing came of this. It may have been Russia feeling them out. Who the hell knows? But nothing came of it, and that was pretty much the end of it. And nobody bothered to call the FBI, because your first instinct isn't, I must call the FBI on anything, really. Especially when there's no law breaking. It's not illegal to collect dirt, to be given dirt from a foreigner. It's not. Do you really think that it matters where the information comes from if the information is true? You might catch hell for it. Politically, there could be a price to pay. But legally, it's not against the law. You didn't coordinate with it. You didn't tell, you know, and this wasn't even about WikiLeaks. Veselnitskayev was not promising WikiLeaks emails. I don't know what she promised, but she didn't deliver anything. But she did not promise the WikiLeaks things. If she'd have said, look, I've stolen these emails and I want to give you these stolen emails, then I think there could be some handling of stolen property. But in general, meeting with anybody and hearing them out is not against the law. again, you can argue it's not the best politics, it's not the best optics, but that doesn't really matter. If you're willing to absorb the blow for that, you're not breaking the law. Well, this came up again. Let's just listen to George Snuffleupagus talk to Donald Trump about this. Because my attitude that I just explained right there is Donald Trump's attitude. He could have been a little more artful in his discussion about it. But he's right on the substance of it. There's nothing illegal about it. If you're saying, look, Hillary's going to be, you know, down the road giving a speech, so that means her laptop's going to be in the hotel room, why don't you sneak in there and steal it? Then you're crossing a line. But if they just have information, you can take it. Anyway, I've over-explained it. Let's listen to Snuffy and the president.
Your son, Don Jr., is up before the Senate Intelligence Committee today. And again, he was not charged with anything. In retrospect, though,
by the way, not only wasn't he charged, if you read it, with all of the horrible fake news, I mean, I was reading that my son was going to go to jail. This is a good young man, that he was going to go to jail. And then the report comes out, and they didn't even say, they hardly even talked about
him. Should he have gone to the FBI when he got that email?
Okay, let's put yourself in a position. You're a congressman. Somebody comes up and says, hey, I have information on your opponent. You call the FBI?
I don't think it's coming from Russia, you do?
I've seen a lot of things over my life. I don't think in my whole life I've ever called the FBI. In my whole life. You don't call the FBI. You throw somebody out of your office, you do whatever
you want. Al Gore got a stolen briefing book, he called the FBI.
Well, that's different, a stolen briefing book. This isn't this is somebody that said, we have information on your opponent. Oh, let me call the FBI. Give me a break. Life doesn't work that way.
The FBI director says that's what should happen.
The FBI director is wrong.
Your campaign this time around, if foreigners, if Russia, if China, if someone else offers you information on an opponent, should they accept it or should they call the FBI?
I think maybe you do both. I think you might want to listen. There's nothing wrong with listening. If somebody called from a country, Norway, we have information on your opponent. Oh, I think I'd want to hear it.
You want that kind of interference in our elections?
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it. If I thought there was something wrong, I'd go maybe to the FBI. If I thought there was something wrong. But when somebody comes up with OPPO research, right? They come up with OPPO research. Oh, let's call the FBI. The FBI doesn't have enough agents to take care of it. But you go and talk honestly to congressmen. They all do it. They always have. And that's the way it is. It's called OPPO research.
First thing here, I love how Snuffleupagus says, well, if it was Russia doing it, I would. As if, okay, well, then there are other countries from which you would accept information then, right, George? What are those countries? Can we get a George Stephanopoulos list of approved countries from which it is okay to receive information, and then the list of bad ones, whichever, you know, just give us whichever list is shorter. Just make sure it's clearly labeled that we know that this is either the good list or the bad list, and just give us the list that you think is shorter. It's absurd. Al Gore got a briefing book. Yeah, Al Gore received stolen property. And he called the FBI. Al Gore also in 1996 did a fundraiser with monks at a monastery in California where Chinese communist government money was shoveled in, somewhere in the neighborhood of a couple $100,000, shoveled into the Clinton-Gore campaign. And he claimed he knew nothing about it, didn't know anything. You telling me that no one in the Clinton campaign, the re-election bid, talked to anybody about this weird fundraiser at a monastery, at a Chinese monastery in California? I don't think that they were Americans sitting in there. I don't think the Chinese monks were Americans in there. So if nobody knew that it was a fundraiser, which is, of course, absurd, then why were they sending Al Gore there? Are they going to really corner the market on the Chinese monk vote? Is that what we're supposed to believe? George, of course, conveniently ignores all of these things. See, history matters. Context matters. If there's one, I'm horrible with names. I am absolutely horrible with names. I give people that I know nicknames until I'm able to remember what their names are. And all my friends, girlfriends or boyfriends, I give them nicknames. My friend Jeff dated a girl. I don't even think he remembers her name. She lived with him for a couple of months, too, because she lost her apartment or whatever. I don't know her name. I don't think he remembers her name. I just knew that she was from Belgium, so I called her the Waffle. I never called her the waffle to her face. She wasn't the super friendliest person on the planet. But I'm just always horrible with names. But I am good with remembering news for some weird reason. And I remember that story about the monastery fundraiser that, Al Gore claimed he didn't know it was a fundraiser. Well, then why in the hell were you talking to a bunch of monks at a monastery and then leaving with campaign donations? Did you never think to question anything about this? You ever think, how is it that people who've taken a vow of poverty are able to come up with a couple of $100,000? Now, there's ignorance and there's dishonesty and then there's willful ignorance. I don't know where it fell on the Clinton scale. I think it fell personally on the dishonest scale. But the guy, one of the big Chinese bagmen for the Clinton-Gore reelection campaign, skipped the country, fled to China, never to return to the United States. So we'll never know, because, of course, the Clintons know how to keep secrets. But, yeah, George, you want to talk about foreign interference? Let's talk about all foreign interference. Let's talk about actual foreign interference, because I think dumping a couple hundred grand into the Clinton-Gore reelect campaign is a little bit more active than sending a woman to a meeting that lasted about 10 minutes in Trump Tower. And then she immediately left and went to Fusion GPS, which was working with the Democrats. So the whole thing could have been a setup. Who the hell knows? I also think that paying millions of dollars to Fusion GPS and to Perkins Coie, the law firm here in Washington, D.C., that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats used, to give to Michael Steele. See, the Clinton campaign, remember, for about 6 months, maybe even a year, who paid for the Steele quote-unquote dossier, the opposition research, was a secret. Nobody knew who did it. Where did this money come from? Why was this secret agent from Britain, a foreign country, by the way, not breaking news there, why was this former foreign spy working in Russia to try and dig up dirt on Donald Trump? Somebody had to have paid him, but we don't know who it was. And curiously, the Clinton campaign didn't come out and say, we did it. Of course we did it. We're running against the guy. We're going to pay to dig up every piece of dirt we possibly can find on him. That's what you do in a campaign. They didn't do that. They kept their mouths shut until they were forced to admit that they had paid for it. Isn't that weird? Isn't that interesting? Why would you be quiet about it? Well, because my Christopher Steele is a foreigner being paid by the Democrats to interfere in our election by going to Russia and speaking with government officials over there, which I just thought I could have sworn was bad, according to Stephanopoulos and to every Democrat in the world, that's bad. But he dealt with Russian government officials. Nothing verified, ridiculous, salacious claims. Much of what Steele has found has been discredited. The thing he got most right in the report was the spelling of the names. But that was all foreign. It was all foreign. And money changed hands. Yet nobody wants to talk about that. George Stephanopoulos may not even know that. He probably lives in a world, and I'm sure up in his Manhattan little two- or three-story apartment, who knows, he's raking in the dough. It doesn't come up very often at the polite cocktail parties they have with like-minded liberals. But to go even a little bit further, if now any dealings with any foreign entity are beyond the pale and, in fact, an outrage bordering on treason, according to, you know, George Stephanopoulos is outraged. How can you do that? Why? You wouldn't immediately call the police? You wouldn't hold that person at gunpoint until the authorities were able to come in and make sure everything was all right? If this is now bad, let's get into the Wayback Machine for a second. Well, first I want to tell you about Jake Tapper. Because Jake Tapper, the blue checkmark brigade was very, very upset with the president yesterday. Like I said, pearls were clutched from sea to shining sea, meaning the Potomac to the Hudson, because that's all that the big media actually cares about is from D.C. to New York. Jake Tapper tweeted out, "Would love to hear from even one member of Congress who says he takes information on his opponents from foreign countries. I would love to hear it. It is such an outrage. It is beyond the pale, and Donald Trump is a monster for even suggesting that." Well, let's get in the Wayback Machine, shall we? Go back to a crazy time, February of 2018. Oh, everything was so different. Hairstyles were different. Food tasted different. The Washington Examiner is where I pick up this story, but it was reported widely in conservative media and not so widely in liberal media. Representative Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, was pranked last year by Russian comedians who offered nude photos of President Trump. Well, you think, okay, Adam Schiff being pranked, kind of funny, kind of thing, but it wasn't like somebody just started yelling Baba Booey into the phone or asked him if he had Prince Albert in a can or whether or not his refrigerator was running. They posed as a Ukrainian politician. And for those of you playing the home game, that is a foreign government official. The story, Schiff thought he had been speaking with Ukrainian politician Andrei Plebleble, whatever the hell his name is, who offered potentially explosive information about Trump's visit to Russia during the Miss Universe pageant in 2013. Schiff cautioned the man that, quote, our Russian friends could be eavesdropping on the call and told him not to share anything he wouldn't want them to hear. Now, is that not a little bit curious? Is that not what George Stephanopoulos was just attacking the president about? Is that not what Jake Tapper was himself wondering about? Geez, how could this be? I'd like to hear from anybody in Congress who would ever take information from a foreign government. Well, Jake, you have Adam Schiff seemingly in a glass case in the green room at CNN, and in case of a lull in the news, break glass and Schiff will come out and claim that, you know, Russia is controlling the president. You might want to ask him about this, Jake, just for the hell of it. I have the first 40 ones. It's like almost a 9-minute phone call. And I want to point out something. You can say he was pranked, but Adam Schiff, well, I'll tell you after you hear it, because I don't think most people understand what is entailed in getting a member of Congress on the phone. So let's just listen to the opening minute, 41 seconds or so, of the conversation between Congressman Adam Schiff, now the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, and what he thought was a Ukrainian politician with dirt on Donald Trump.
Hi, all right. I'm going to put Mr. Schiff on the phone, and then I guess are you going to transfer him to Mr. Parubi?
Yes, of course.
Great, thank you.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Schiff. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
I know that you work for investigation regarding Trump and Russian government.
Yes.
We know some important information about it.
And that is documented as well in materials you want to provide to us?
Yes. Could I explain you where we are?
Yes, of course. But, you know, again, I would just caution that our Russian friends may be listening to the conversation, so I wouldn't share anything over the phone that you don't want them to hear.
Our Russian friends could be listening, so don't say anything that you don't want them to hear. Basically, he knows. Watch out, Russia's out there. You're not Russian, so it's okay. You're Ukrainian. Apparently, they're on the good list that George Stephanopoulos has yet to put together for us. But this is a foreign government official, as far as Adam Schiff knows, offering up dirt on Donald Trump. Now, later in the call, he went on to say that he had photographs of Donald Trump naked with prostitutes. And Adam Schiff got very excited at the prospect they were going to get that information from him, because Vladimir Putin also had that information, according to the pranksters, and that could be bribe material against Donald Trump. It was a morning show duo over in Russia, or whatever the hell they are. I don't know. They're alleged comedians. I don't get Russian humor. Their biggest punchline is, let's invade Poland. But it's interesting because if Jake Tapper and the other media liberals who are outraged that Donald Trump would not immediately call the FBI upon learning of the prospect that someone who is a foreigner might have information with people, like, say, Joe Biden. Joe Biden's son and other people associated with the Biden family and Biden inner circle have dealings with companies and countries around the world. If somebody in Hong Kong who had dealt with Joe Biden's son had some information on Joe Biden pulling strings while vice president to make sure that Hunter Biden got favorable treatment from the government of Hong Kong and really the government of Beijing, would you not want that information? Would you forfeit that information? Would that be crazy to forfeit that information? I think the president actually struck the right tone. I might do both. I'd hear him out. There's nothing wrong with hearing him out. And call the FBI. Why not? Maybe record the thing. Maybe get the FBI involved in the meeting so they can come in and listen to the meeting. You get the information, and then you get the clearance from the FBI, and maybe the next Mueller investigation will only take a year and a half and $15 million to come to the obvious conclusion. But what I was going to say before we heard the Adam Schiff clip, and this is important, this wasn't an accident that somehow these Russian pranksters got a hold of Adam Schiff's cell phone number and called him first thing in the morning, waking him up several times, doing voices and hanging up on him. This was an arranged call. Therefore, there can be no ambiguity about to whom he was speaking. It was wrong, but he thought and he had been told that he was going to be speaking with this Ukrainian government official. He calls him Mr. Chairman, so clearly he knew something about whoever they were faking being. Moreover, you can't just call up the office and say, hey, I've got dirt on Donald Trump. I'd like to speak to Adam Schiff. That's not the way it works. It takes some time. Every member of Congress has a scheduler. The members of Congress, their schedule is pretty busy. They're meeting with constituents groups. They're meeting with lobbyists. They're meeting with this, that, and the other group. Some school kids are coming through. They got to get their picture taken with them, so on and so forth. So to get a phone call with a member of Congress during the work day, which it clearly was, considering it sounded like it was the scheduler on the phone saying, I'm about to put Congressman Schiff on the phone. That takes some effort. There had to have been multiple contacts between the Russians and Adam Schiff's office, the Russians posing as Ukrainians. That meant that Adam Schiff knew, or at least believed, that he was talking to this Ukrainian government official, a foreign government official, with dirt on the president of the United States, the exact scenario that everybody is whining and complaining about on the left, about the Trump Tower meeting that lasted about the same time as this phone call that didn't actually involve Donald Trump. See the hypocrisy? See the disconnect there? Hillary Clinton can get information from Russia because she paid an intermediary to get it, who also happens to be a foreigner. And that's cool. Nobody even bothers. You don't ever hear anything. The Steele dossier has kind of gone the way of the dodo. It doesn't matter. The Mueller investigation proved that thing was full of crap. And now the media just pretends that it didn't exist. They pretend that part of the Mueller investigation didn't exist. They're all obsessed with this is obstruction of justice. What did he obstruct? Well, it turns out nothing, but it doesn't really matter. It was obstruction of justice because we say it was. Meanwhile, Adam Schiff does exactly the same thing, but knowingly, he himself does it. And Nobody bats an eye, and Jake Tapper's left scratching his head or his ass or both, because they're usually located in this very same close proximity to one another, going, I'd love to hear from anybody in Congress who would dare take information. That just would never happen. Nobody in Congress would ever take information from a foreign government. We have it on tape, Jake. Do you not work in the news business? Do you not, is the news not your thing? Or do you only watch CNN? Considering, you know, your ratings at the network are down a third. They're down by a third from last year. Can you imagine that? So maybe Jake Tapper doesn't watch CNN at all. But you would think somebody who prides themselves on being a journalist would have some semblance, some self-awareness before sending out that tweet. Going, I'd love to hear it. But no, they aren't self-aware enough because they know that they're never going to be called out about it. No guest on CNN will ever mention anything remotely close to what I said to you, what I told you in this show. Just, it'll never come up on CNN. If through some fluke, there's a live shoot somewhere where somebody runs up to their microphone and says it, they'll immediately cut away. They do not want their audience to know this kind of stuff. And luckily, thankfully, their audience is dwindling. And in the key demographic, 25 to 54, it's down 55% over at CNN compared to last year. That's how just sad it really is, and how it's gotten. And the reason it's gotten that way is because of crap like this. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what else comes out in the interview with Snuffleupagus, but they usually pick out the juiciest bits and preview it. And it's the hypocrisy that bothers me. The hypocrisy always bothers me. It drives me nuts. It's the Holden Caulfield in me. I don't like the phonies. All right, there's other stuff going on, a lot of stuff I still want to try and cram into this program. I always go far too long in the first segment, so sorry about that, but that's my motor mouth for you. There's a story, it's in Rolling, this one in particular I'm looking at is in Rolling Stone, but it's been all over Fox News, it's been all over the news of what's going on down in the Dominican Republic. There's the Rolling Stone headline is, what the hell is going on in the Dominican Republic? The subheadline is, though it's unclear if they're connected, at least six American tourists have died under mysterious circumstances in the last year alone. I don't know what's going on in the Dominican Republic. Nobody knows what's going on in the Dominican Republic. They've, you know, networks have dispatched reporters down to the Dominican Republic to find out nothing. They're not really going to find out anything until the government decides to tell anybody anything. You don't need to be there for it, but that's just kind of how the news reacts. But my point talking about this is I've never been to the Dominican Republic. I've never been to the Caribbean. I have zero interest in going to the Caribbean. I am not a sun worshiper or a sun chaser. That's just not how I roll. I prefer Ireland to, you know, the Caribbean. Not that I really have the two to compare to because I've never been to the Caribbean. But I also have a policy against traveling to third world countries. I don't care what the resort is. There are several islands down there where here from the Washington, Baltimore area, you can catch a cruise right in downtown Baltimore to the Bahamas or whatever, if that's what you want to do. And they're not the most expensive cruises in the world if you don't mind not having a window and having to share a room with Gopher or Doc or whoever. But it doesn't interest me. I think it's a good rule of thumb to not travel to third world countries unless you're on some sort of mission or relief effort. Then, you know, you're a better person than I am. But as a rule of thumb, stay away from third world countries. Any place you've got to get shots to avoid getting sick in, any place you can't drink the water, these are places that I don't really want to go. And I realize that that leaves huge swaths of the world to which I will never travel. And you know what? I will sleep soundly with that knowledge. There are places, wouldn't you like to see Machu Picchu? Not really. I've seen pictures. That's enough. It's not like there's a bustling nightlife there. Wouldn't you want to go see the Inca ruins? Maybe, if you could helicopter me in there and helicopter me out right away. But I have policies against traveling to third world countries. And rule number 1A, since they're both kind of equally important, is I don't want to go anywhere where kidnapping is a top five industry. You know, kidnapping for ransom. And that, unfortunately, takes away a lot of places south of the border. So, yeah, don't go to the Dominican Republic. That's until at least they find out what the hell is going on and why perfectly healthy people are dropping over after taking drinks from the minibar. It doesn't strike me as very likely that there was a bad batch of Cuervo that just made it only into those tiny little airline bottles. I think there's something else going on here. Unless, and I will say this caveat, because this is kind of important, we have seen this song and dance before where the media just gloms onto a story because there's a possibility of a story there. Unless it turns out that these people actually did die of natural causes or were abusing substances or something like that. We don't know. We only know what they tell us. We don't have toxicology reports. It could be all kinds of explanations for this. But in general, a good rule of thumb and a good rule of life is don't go to the third world for pleasure. For fun. Oh, yes, you can live like a king for a week for significantly cheaper than if you went someplace else. But a lot of kings get assassinated. You know, just learn your history. Be careful. Do whatever you want, ultimately. Just keep your head on a swivel and be smart about it. But I never understood anybody who, oh yeah, we went to this beautiful tropical island. They picked us up in a bus right at the airport and warned us not to go into town and not leave the grounds of the resort. And we never did. But we went from the bus to this fake paradise and then back to the bus. And in between, out the windows, we saw crushing poverty. It's not really a place. That's not my idea of fun. That's just me talking. There ends my travel agent speech. If I was a travel agent, if they still exist, I would just spend time talking people out of going places. You really want to go there? You understand how bad it is there? Do you really want to see Bogota? Really? Couldn't you just, you want to go to Cartagena? Couldn't you just watch Romancing the Stone and call it a day? And then, I don't know, go visit World War II battlefields in Europe? That would have to be the worst. Speaking of the worst, let's talk about the leader in the Democratic field, Joe Biden. I don't know what is wrong with Joe Biden. Maybe he's not getting sleep. Maybe he's not getting enough vitamins. Maybe his Centrum Silver needs to have the dosage updated a little bit. I'm unsure. But he sounds like he's asleep half the time. In his speech yesterday where he was eviscerating Donald Trump, he was reading it off of literal note cards, slowly. And not even dramatically, just sleepily. Well, in another speech yesterday, maybe he just doesn't know. I don't really want to mock the guy for being old. I'd rather just mock him for being stupid. There's nothing he can do about being old. But I just assume that everybody who's stupid could do something about it, and they just choose not to. Listen, it's a very, very short clip. But he's talking again about him and his best buddy, Barack Obama. And the Obama years, how they were just perhaps the closest to utopia the modern world has ever seen.
Now I was most proud of, for 8 years, there wasn't one single hint of a scandal or a lie.
Excuse me, former Vice President Biden. Brian Terry's wife is on the phone. She would like to speak with you. Oh, you don't know who Brian Terry was? He was the U.S. Border Patrol agent who was murdered with guns sold forcibly by the Obama administration to Mexican drug cartels. The little program called Fast and Furious. No, not the movie series starring Vin Diesel. The actual gun-running scandal that the Obama administration exerted executive privilege over to stop the American people from finding out just how bad it was. But not one single whiff or hint of scandal or a lie. That is what Joe Biden said. Of course, Lois Lerner was unavailable for comment. She's too busy spending her pension, her taxpayer-funded pension, on whatever it is. She's probably sipping a cocktail somehow. Maybe she's down in the Dominican Republic, for all I know, sipping a cocktail and having a good laugh about Joe Biden's line there. Yes, she targeted conservatives. She targeted political opponents of Obama Biden to prevent them from being able to be fully effective in the 2020 campaign. But there was not one single hint, the using the power of the IRS to target political opponents. Nope, no scandal there whatsoever. Of course, there are four dead Americans in Benghazi who would like to speak to Joe Biden, but they are unavailable for comment. And I would just like to point out, because this cannot be pointed out enough, when it comes to Benghazi, Barack Obama was briefed on what was happening in Benghazi within at least, and the timeline is unclear because we still don't know exactly where the president was or what he was doing that day. Again, not a hint of scandal or lies. He was briefed, we are told, at some point in the first 2 hours of the terror attack, the coordinated terrorist attack, at which time, according to Barack Obama himself, he then ordered the military to do anything and everything necessary to aid those people under attack. Then exactly nothing was done. Unless, of course, Barack Obama is lying about having said, do whatever you have to do to help those people. Either that means either Barack Obama is lying that he didn't actually issue that order, or perhaps more scandalous from a military standpoint, that somebody in the chain of command decided to disobey a direct order from the President of the United States to aid those people in Benghazi. They did nothing. Since there has been no inquiry and no interest whatsoever from the Democrats about who that person in that chain of command could be, I must assume logically, I must connect the dots and just determine that that person doesn't exist, that that order was not given. Since it wasn't followed through on, and nobody's bothering to find out why it wasn't followed through on, then I have to assume that that order was not given, which then leaves us with the only other viable option there, that Barack Obama was lying. But again, Joe Biden, not a hint of scandal or a whiff of a lie. There are 5 million people who lost their health insurance after being assured more than a couple of dozen times that if they like their plan, they could keep their plan. If they like their doctor, they could keep their doctor. But not one single lie during the Obama administration, according to Joe Biden. PolitiFact in 2013 declared, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan, to be the lie of the year. PolitiFact, liberal PolitiFact, the lie of the year. But Joe Biden says there were no lies during the Obama administration. I would like to point out about PolitiFact, and I point this out in my book, that Barack Obama had been telling that lie since the 2008 campaign, that if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. And PolitiFact had fact-checked it numerous times before declaring it the lie of the year, and each time declared it varying degrees of true. Then, in 2013, after Barack Obama had faced voters for the last time in his life, suddenly that's when PolitiFact discovered, oh my goodness, this thing we declared true all these other times is now not only a lie, but the lie. You talk about bias there, Joe. You talk about scandals. You talk about lies. There were quite a few in the Obama administration, if you're being honest. Of course, there's possibility, and I have to leave this dangling out there, that Joe simply doesn't remember much about his term as vice president. It's entirely possible. He sounds incredibly sleepy in this clip. He could be on some sort of medication. He could be losing his mental abilities, all of which is believable. It's Joe Biden, though, so how could you tell if he were? But I just find it funny that that line right there is not getting any scrutiny. I'm just scratching the surface here on the Obama-Biden lies and scandals, but there was no deep dive. If Donald Trump, if Mike Pence gets up during the campaign and says, you know what, the best thing about our administration these 4 years was that there was not even a hint of scandal nor any lies told during that. You could hear Jim Acosta, you'd hear him drop to the floor. You would hear every White House correspondent giggle, laugh, guffaw, and faint if those words came out. There would be fact-check pieces written immediately that would be declaring that to be completely false. They would be creating Pinocchios to give to the person who said that. Joe Biden says it as a throwaway line, as an applause line, an otherwise boring, sleepy speech, and it won't make the nightly news. Lester Holt won't bother with talking about how this gives a false impression about the Obama years. The media kind of gave the false impression of the Obama years. Maybe Joe Biden's impression of the Obama years is informed not through his own experiences, because as vice president, he was basically sent out to play with the dog and ignored most of the time. But maybe Joe Biden got most of his information about the Obama administration from the mainstream media. As while the media dropped the ball, maybe Joe was out playing with a ball. Who the hell knows? Speaking of balls, this next story is right out of Hollywood. It's a little disturbing. If you have HBO, this might not be a new show to add to your rotation. This story comes to us from The Hollywood Reporter. And keep in mind, it's everybody in Hollywood is lefty. There are very few exceptions. They are marginalized if you're not a full-blown lefty. I mean, for God's sakes, Alyssa Milano is advising Joe Biden on abortion policy, and he's listening to her, and he's selling out what he claimed to have been his deeply held belief for a short-term promise of love from Alyssa Milano. But it's especially in light of what we heard yesterday from Kirsten Gillibrand and all of these Democrats, Pete Buttigieg, everybody, lecturing the United States, lecturing the American people about morality. It's immoral that we don't do this. It's immoral that we do that. This is immoral. That is immoral. Abortion is it's a moral imperative to have taxpayer-funded abortion, that sort of asinine thing. They're suddenly, the left is very, very concerned, using religious-type terms for irreligious type of things. But they have become the new moral police. They're telling us what is and isn't moral. Well, take a look at what they do out there in Hollywood. And these are the people who donate to Democrats. So one must assume that they are simpatico on a great number of issues. The headline of this story, HBO's Explicit Euphoria Courts Controversy. How much teen sex and drugs is too much? There's a new show. HBO always has, you know, Sunday night original programming. Some of it's pretty good. Some of it's not very good. Some of it doesn't interest me at all. And some of it is phenomenal television. I don't know what this is going to be. I imagine this is going to be nauseating. Because one thing you find about movies about teenagers, they're all, first of all, starring all people in their 20s. But they create this idea. Hollywood seems to think that all kids do is take drugs and screw. Now, there are a few teenagers
who do nothing but take drugs and screw. There's no doubt about that. You get that many teenagers in the country, some of them are going to be completely degenerates. Oddly enough, most of the people who are the degenerates are the children of wealthy liberals, the absentee parents who encourage them and allow them to do whatever the hell they want, and very passive, I'm your best friend, I'm not your father, sort of crap. Well, this show actually comes from just that. The story reads, 30 penis, and some of this language is pretty explicit because the moral police are loving showing penises, apparently. So when you're being lectured by a liberal about what is and isn't moral, remember this story. 30 penises in one episode? Zendaya's new series, filled with graphic nudity, violence, and drug use among young people, is so extreme that one star quit mid-shoot, but the network hopes that authenticity will help the show break through. Authenticity. Again, it might be authentic if your father is a multi-millionaire filmmaker and you have a whole bunch of money to blow and sit around and screw all day and you don't really have to work for a living. That's the situation here, because the show's creator and who wrote all of the episodes, at least in this season, if there is another season, is Barry Levinson's son, and it's inspired by his own drug addiction. Now, I highly doubt that this is going to be set in the world of a multimillionaire Hollywood film legend and his pampered child. See, that's what the left does. They project. Like, my story is everybody's story. I was sitting on a pile of money from my trust fund doing blow off of a prostitute's ass, and I realized that there had to be more to life. So I wrote this story. It's very semi-autobiographical. It's about a teenage girl from a lower middle class family just trying to struggle to get by and having to deal with peer pressure. Like, that's nothing like your life story. But they get away with it. Now, the content of the show, it's apparently just filled with penises. And there's a rape scene, a statutory rape scene right at the very beginning. And literally, apparently, in the pilot episode, they show 30 different penises. This seems more like what the left is becoming politically in the streets in, say, Portland, where I know I use Portland as an example all the time, but that's only because it's so appropriate. They are out there to shock. There is no message. There is a mission, and the mission is to shock. The left loves to do things that provoke reaction from the right. Oh, let's have drag queen children's story time at the library. Well, who thinks that's a good idea? The left doesn't think it's a good idea. They know that conservatives, especially religious conservatives, are going to say, what in the hell are you doing? And then they all immediately get to go prude and point at you like, oh, God, can you believe? Oh, look at these reactionary right-wingers. They're just so full of hate that they don't want Sparkle Sunshine up there to read a children's book. She's reading Winnie the Pooh. Yes, it's a bondage S&M sort of version of Winnie the Pooh where you don't want to know what happens to poor Tigger. But still, it's just Winnie the Pooh. What happened to Eeyore's tail? Well, you're going to have to stick around to find out. And you prudes are just going off about because you're just so uptight. That's why they do this thing. Their fetish is to get a reaction from the right. There is no story in the world that the first hour of its telling requires 30 penises. Unless you're doing that plaster caster woman who was a groupie from the 70s. There's just no reason for it other than I want to stick it in the eye of those conservatives, particularly religious conservatives. Meanwhile, their fellow travelers, their preferred candidates, are out there talking about how this is moral and that is moral. And it's immoral to think this way. It's immoral to be religious on the court and oppose abortion, because abortion is the most moral thing you can possibly do. These people are sick. They're demented. They have a twisted world view. HBO, if this kid's name wasn't Levinson, if Barry Levinson wasn't his dad, Sam Levinson, the guy's 34 years old and he's writing soft core porn for early 20-year-old actors playing high school students. You can't tell me that that isn't, there's something going on upstairs that ain't right. You might not want to invite this guy to the kid's birthday party. You know what I'm saying? But he's 34. He's probably never really had to have a job in his life. It's kind of like, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow and her perverted worldview and some of the weird stuff she sells on her website makes perfect sense to her, because her whole life has been, I'm going to try this acting thing, and if it doesn't work out well, I'm just going to have to fall back on my parents' millions. You know, when you're when your fallback plan is living off of your trust fund, it perverts your worldview. It changes who you otherwise would be. And that's fine. You can be whoever you want. The real problem here is that HBO said, you know what? You've only got a script here with 29 penises in the pilot episode. We'll cut you a check for $10 million to make this pilot episode, but we're going to need a couple more penises. These are our moral superiors, ladies and gentlemen. Just ask them. Speaking of penises, a lot of dick talk in the show today. This story comes to us out of the state of New York, the state of confusion that is New York. New York is facing all kinds of problems. New York is facing a financial crisis, a meltdown, growing debt, things of that nature, things you get in liberal states. They now want to legalize prostitution. Not even kidding, because what could possibly go wrong with that? This from Fox 5 in New York. It's an Associated Press story. New York State would legalize the buying and selling of sex under a proposal introduced in the state legislature Monday that would lift criminal penalties for sex work. Don't you love the little euphemisms that they come up with? Instead of calling it prostitution, it's sex work. It's just, you know, a day in the office. You build aluminum brakes, I bend over and get broken. The bill isn't expected to get a vote before the Democrat-led Senate and Assembly plan to adjourn for the year next week, but supporters still hailed the announcement as a critical step towards repealing criminal penalties for sex workers and their customers. Now, these are the same people, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a little before my time, but in the heyday of porn in the 70s, when porn kind of went mainstream and you had to go to a theater and sit next to a weirdo to watch it, the left, led by the feminists, were talking about how that was horribly exploitative of women. It was an outrage and it was sexist. You're victimizing women. You're objectifying, that's the word. You're objectifying women. You're a monster, not only for producing this, but you're a monster for watching this. How dare you do that? And now suddenly, 40 years later, they've gone from porn is dehumanizing to porn is empowering. And more so than that, we shouldn't be criminalizing sex work. These women have empowered themselves to become addicted to drugs and at the mercy of pimps and give themselves to people with diseases and live on the streets. And, you know, there's just nothing good about this. New York is going to hell in a handbasket, and the taxpayers of New York are weaving them a hell of a nice handbasket. So, yes, this won't get passed this year. It's been introduced. And that's the first crack in the ice. It takes time for any of these things to ultimately become law. Just know that this has started. The gauntlet has been thrown. New York has introduced a bill to legalize prostitution. And what that means, ladies and gentlemen, is now the clock starts. California is on the clock. Will California, progressive California, legalize prostitution, or should I say decriminalize sex work, before New York can next year or even consider it? Because that seems to be what happens in this country. New York or California will do something incredibly stupid. Let's ban all plastic straws. Well, I'll ban plastic straws too. They're in a race to be the dumbest state. It's always a photo finish. So now that New York is throwing this chip onto the table, but they won't be able to get to it this year, look for California to step up its game and say, you know what? We will legalize prostitution. That's only the right. We must empower women to be used physically by men for money or whatever. These people are sick, man. But they're going to tell you that you're immoral because you have Christian values. You're just an oppressor. You're a monster. And they're doing everything that I've explained today on today's show. They're doing it without irony, and they're doing it without fear of being called out for the hypocrites that they are, because their fellow travelers in the mainstream media won't do it. They'll all become Jake Tapper. Oh, geez, I'd really like to hear somebody explain why they think Democrats are talking about morality. Mostly because they are, Jake. You should probably pay attention to the news. That's why you get those fat checks every 2 weeks. It's kind of your job. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Tomorrow's interview with Shannon Bream is going to be a good one. You'll have a full hour show, so I think the interview is about a half an hour, so we'll speak for a half an hour before that. And good luck to, I can't remember who won the books, but you'll find out when you hear Shannon Bream read your name tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Shoot me an email, Derek@dailycaller.com. Otherwise, it's Thursday, man. It's almost Friday. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.